The views expressed on the Buckmaster Radio program are not necessarily the views of Bill Buckmaster Communications, LLC, or its sponsors.
Hello, everybody. Bill Buckmaster, along with my friend John Couch, John engineering and producing the show, and together we welcome you to the Buckmaster Show. It's Monday, the 13th of January, 2020. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio on 1030 Tucson's Voice for trusted news talk. Anywhere in the world live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. Of course, the live line number 790-2040. Anything you would like to add to our Monday political face-off? Have at it. The Monday face-off today, presenting by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, John Munger is here, Tucson attorney, former president of the Arizona Board of Regents and Republican candidate for Arizona governor. Jeff Rogers here, Tucson attorney, former chair of the Pima County Democratic Party. The Monday political face-off sponsored by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They've been around doing a great job, presenting a terrific service since 1985. You have any framing needs? Believe me, there should be no question. Head to Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Jeff, how was your weekend?
It was great, except for that Wildcats game.
What did you say on Facebook that you didn't realize the Wildcats, now one of their colors are black?
Well, that's crept up in a lot of places around sure. the nation. The players like black uniforms.
They do.
And it tends to be a recruiting thing for a lot of coaches. I'm not fond of them. I think they should be wearing red and black, or the home colors of white with red and black seams or something on them. But that's the trend these days.
Dropping both games to Oregon.
Well, I'll tell you, and I think now they've lost five of their last six games.
Wow.
You got three potential lottery picks in the draft on this team, all of them being freshmen, and it's sort of getting a little worrisome that they can't put together a little bit of a win streak. They're losing to all the best teams they play.
Yeah, I like the fact the women are doing so well.
Yeah,
my gosh,
they're doing real well.
Played the two Oregon schools, both ranked in the top five, the two Oregon women's team. We almost beat them, the Oregon State team. That was within 2 points. And then Oregon yesterday, we gave them a very good game. And I like the fact that the women, they can't drop out early to go join the Women's National Basketball League. They have a provision there that you have to be, I think, a certain age. You have to be at least 21. You can't drop out of school and join the league.
Yeah, we should have that for the men.
Yep.
As they do in baseball.
Yep.
Barnes has really done a good job with that program, and it's really, really fun to see them play.
Well, you can't beat this weather either, can you, for January?
Well, it's pretty nice. Pretty nice.
John, I want to begin with the situation with the race going on. We've got Iowa, John and Jeff, 21 days. We're three weeks away.
I know.
From the Iowa caucuses, we had New Jersey Senator Cory Booker dropping out of the Democratic race. For years, people have talked about, can you buy a nomination if you spend enough money? We're going to find out with Mike Bloomberg.
We are going to find out.
$1 billion. To give you an idea how much he's already spent, I think Bernie has brought in the most of the traditional Democratic candidates. Bloomberg is outspending all of them 14 to 15 to 1.
Yeah. Bloomberg, it's going to be very interesting to see exactly what you've said, whether Bloomberg can buy his way into the Democratic, through his Democratic primary. And I don't know. It's just, as a matter of political science, it's never been done at this level. It's been done in various other seats. And it can be done, but I don't know if at this time with the progressive movement, the way it is, and the Democratic Party, whether a rich guy can buy his way into that race. I would tend to say no. But, you know, we're going to have a contested convention at the Democratic convention, in my humble opinion. I was wrong before, and I'll admit it, when I said I thought Warren had it wrapped up.
Yeah, you did. She does. You said that here on the show.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. And I was wrong about that.
Wow.
Nobody knows what's going to happen. I think they're going to have, though, a contested convention, and he could turn out to be the compromise candidate. What? For that matter, Hillary could turn out to be the compromise
candidate. Really? What do you think, Jeff?
Well, I would be shocked to see Hillary's name mentioned at all.
What about this whole thing with Bloomberg? I mean, he's not polling well, at least in Iowa, 1%.
Well, he's not focusing any of his advertising on Iowa or Nevada or South Carolina.
For the Super Tuesday.
Super Tuesday is where he's focused, and he's doing a lot of national advertising. I saw one during a football game this week. You know, so he's getting a lot of national advertising, and he's going to spend a fortune doing it. So we'll see whether or not John's right that you can buy into the Democratic nomination. I tend to agree with John that it's not likely because of the fact that there are so many progressives who, you know, feel like it's anathema to have a rich person being running for president from the Democratic Party. But, you know, if you set aside that sort of prejudice, he really is a pretty traditional Democrat. I mean, you won't find a hair's difference, I think, between him and Joe Biden and maybe even Buttigieg. But he's not, you know, in that solidly progressive lane with Warren and
plus
Sanders.
Plus, he's an old white guy.
And that's not exactly a good starting point in the Democratic Party today with the sort of identity politics that we see being played out in many of these primaries.
So Bernie has looks like right now kind of the inside track for New Hampshire and Iowa. But then, you know, we get into March, and then that's of course, where Bloomberg's
focusing. And Nevada's, up for grabs.
When is that? Is that?
That's like a week or two after New Hampshire. And so, you know, that one's up for grabs. And then South Carolina, Biden is way ahead. I mean, he's picking up endorsements from all of the prominent African Americans in South Carolina. And South Carolina is one of the states where, if I remember it correctly, African Americans could be the majority of the Democratic voters in that primary. And if not, a significant portion of them, certainly a plurality. So unless Biden slips between now and then, you know, he's going to handily win that state. And then we're off to Super Tuesday. And we'll see what happens. The problem we're going to have is that even if somebody doesn't emerge as a favorite before the convention, you know, Sanders people are so wedded to him that it's going to be awful hard to twist their arms to get them to support other candidates if there's not enough of even a plurality to support him. So, you know, for an interesting convention.
The passion that they have for Bernie is kind of like on the Republican side, the passion that folks have for Trump.
Yeah, I agree. But Bernie's ace in the hole are the Warren supporters. If Warren ever makes a deal with Bernie that she'd be the vice presidential candidate or something, those people would come over to Bernie, and then he'd have a significant portion of the Democratic Party. He'd be tough to beat at the convention if he made that deal.
And he did say today that his VP choice will not be another old white guy.
Right. Yeah.
So, I don't know. Let's turn
I guess to the three of us old white guys are going to...
Oh, boy.
Not
I mean, if I were Bernie, that would be the deal I'd be looking at, is getting Warren in as vice president and getting her votes. And boy, then he'd be pretty strong in the Democratic primaries.
Transitioning, of course, to the Soleimani takeout, the hit, if you will, on Soleimani. Is that going to pay off, do you think, John, in Iran? I know they've had a lot of unrest going on. But, you know, how hard will this government come down on the protesters? That's the big question.
Well, they will come down as hard as they can. The problem is they have protests going on now in six cities, not just Tehran. And they have protests in the street where people are actually celebrating the U.S. They're actually saying, the U.S. is not the problem. The problem is the totalitarian government. The government painted the American flag on the pavement in a couple of those cities and asked people to stomp on the American flag, and they refused to do it. They said the Americans are not the problem. The problem are totalitarians. The second problem is that the people it's turning out really didn't like, or a significant number of them, really didn't like Soleimani. they thought that he was using their tax money and their resources. They're very poor right now. They're really suffering economically. They thought that he was using their money to advance all of these proxy wars in other areas. They don't like him. They don't like Khamenei. And the other problem they've got is economic problems. They are really on the ropes economically. Did you know you can't even use a credit card in Iran now?
No, I didn't know.
Because they're so much on the ropes.
It'd be difficult to travel over there.
It'd be difficult to do anything without a credit card.
Anyway, Jeff, before we go to your comment, Bruce Ash called us. Bruce, one of our contributors, of course, to the Face-Off. What's on your mind, Bruce?
Well, thanks for taking my call. So, fellas, I think one thing, and I haven't heard you specifically say anything about this, all of these early primaries for the Democrats are proportional results. So, you know, even if Sanders was to take the first two of the contest, he's going to be splitting that up with anybody who's received over 15% of the vote, which could be another three or four people. We're probably not likely to see at this time much of a breakout until Super Tuesday. And, you know, I've been around this process for a while, looking at it both on the Republican side as well as on the Democratic side, having met with Jim Roosevelt a number of times when I was rules chairman. He's the DNC rules chairman. And this front-end loading of presidential primaries is really, it's a big problem. It was a problem for the Republicans. And if things go true to form, it's going to be a problem for the Democrats as well.
Okay, thank you, Bruce. What do you think, Jeff, real quickly?
Well, one of the things that will be interesting in Iowa is, as Bruce alluded to, you have to get 15% or you don't of a vote in the caucuses, or you don't count at all. And so they literally get in rooms, and if you have, say, Buttigieg, and he doesn't have 15% of the vote, then his people leave their corner and literally go to other corners of the room of the caucus to join in with other candidates. And so with such a large field this year in Iowa, it will be interesting to see how that shakes out. It might give us some clues as to, you know, who is their second choices.
That's right.
And I think
that's right.
Interesting,
yeah.
Second choice studies. But as to this Soleimani thing, the fact is that we've now know from reporting from NBC News that Trump had approved his assassination 7 months ago. And we now know that these threats about imminent threats to embassies were a complete lie made up by Trump. Even his Secretary of Defense, Esper, said on shows yesterday, and it's being reported today, that he knows of no facts supporting any imminent threats. The reporters have now interviewed embassy personnel at embassies throughout the world and found that none of them were under any kind of warnings for an imminent threat. So,
okay.
You know, this was quite the made-up job for Trump to do this.
Right.
You
know, I think John, hold your response, because
sure.
We are over time here. We need to take the break. The Monday Political Face-Off, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and at moesgallery.com. Hey, it's time to go by, it's time to go by Moe's, but it's also time to go by Mona's Danish Bakery, northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise. They were doing a really good business yesterday, and even during midday, people were having breakfast. That's fine. That's why Steve, owner and chief baker, Steve, put in the grill. They're open for breakfast each morning, 6:30, and of course, they're open now for lunch. If you'd like breakfast, no problem. Northeast corner, Swan and Sunrise, Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle. MonasDanishBakery.com, also a link at BuckmasterShow.com. Be right back. Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority and its member jurisdictions have completed more than 850 transportation projects or service improvements across the region to date. The RTA is a state-established political subdivision and taxing district. The RTA's current half-cent sales tax funds the 20-year plan through June 2026. And the RTA is laying the foundation to develop a new plan. To learn more, please visit www.rtanext.com. Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
This is Bill Buckmaster encouraging you to fly from Tucson International Airport. When you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. A new study shows the Tucson Airport Authority's annual economic impact is $7.4 billion, with almost $1 billion of that from visitors flying into the airport. Fly Tucson, and airlines will respond with more flights, bringing more visitors, benefiting all of us. Type in TUS when you book your next flight and fly Tucson.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
Southern Arizona is home to one of the world's most trusted sources of information on medicines. The Credible Meds website is visited each day by over 2,000 people from more than 60 countries. You too can learn how to personalize your medications and take control of your health care. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and join Bill Buckmaster each month as he and Dr. Ray Woosley, founder of Credible Meds, give you practical tips on how to get the most from your medications.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They've been presenting our Monday political face-off pretty much, I think, since day one when we launched the program first week in January in 2011. Moe's at Fort Lowell and Dodge and at moesgallery.com. Jeff Rogers is here. John Munger is with me. We're in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. Green Things, one of our great sponsors. Jeff, you were saying that Green Things is your go-to nursery in town.
Yes, I keep my horses right around the corner at what was Fred Fry's boarding stable for the last 4 years or more. And so we have occasion to stop by there periodically for pots and plants and other things for the yard.
They've got it all. 3384 East River Road by the Rito River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go by on their 13-acre site. You'll find just about every plant you need. And, of course, Zocalo Village is there, too. All that great merchandise from Mexico, Latin America, and Europe. GreenThingsAZ.com and ZocaloVillage.com. John, it's your turn to respond to Jeff, who was talking about the NBC News report that President Trump authorized Soleimani's killing 7 months ago.
Well, he may have authorized the killing. What people don't understand is that Soleimani has been on the U.S. terrorist list since 2007.
Most wanted list of
most wanted
terrorists.
List. Yeah. He's been a target since 2007. The other presidents legitimately could have taken him out. They didn't. Trump just felt that this was another pressure point on Iran. It's turned out he's correct. Their response to our taking out Soleimani was incredibly and pathetically weak. They used, people don't know this, but they used their least effective missiles that have the smallest impact. It was a pathetic attempt at a response to save face. They didn't hurt anybody. But of course, they told their public that they'd killed a bunch of Americans. The public isn't buying it over there. So I'm not surprised he put him on the hit list because he's a terrorist. He was a terrorist. He should be on the hit list. Why wouldn't he be on the hit list?
Well, one of the problems we've got is that no president has ever done what this president just did in killing Soleimani. Bush and Obama, even more so than Bush, focused on what we call non-state actors. They were terrorists that were high on our watch list, but they were not associated with a government. They weren't a legitimate government official of a legitimate government. And that's what we had here. And that's why a lot of people are scratching their head saying this is probably a violation of international law, and it might be a violation of American law. And when you start killing the heads of state, and I'm reminded of the conversation I saw with this Senator Mike Lee of Utah, where he said that not only was the intelligence briefing lacking in any real proof that there was any imminent threat to any of our embassies or any of our other potential targets, but he also said that he was shocked to hear a Republican posed a question, well, what if you wanted to kill Iran's supreme leader? Don't you think you'd have to come before Congress and get that approval first? And they refused to answer the questions.
Well,
the intelligence briefers did. So quite clearly, this administration believes that Donald Trump is a king or a dictator, and we've got to, we have to rein him in. And I hope some of my Republican colleagues and some of the Republicans in the Senate will start to realize that if a Democrat was doing these kinds of things, how would they feel about that? Would they feel like Barack Obama can kill a head of state without any authority from Congress?
Number one,
can start a war without the authority of Congress?
Number one, Trump didn't kill a head of state. He killed a general who had been designated as a terrorist and who has cost tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of lives. He's been designated a terrorist. Just because you put on a uniform doesn't insulate
you. He's an Iranian official. He was an Iranian official.
Fine. Just because you put on a uniform, if you're a terrorist, you're a terrorist. And the fact of the matter is that you can't say, well, Obama and Bush focused on non-state
players.
Well, number one, Bush didn't. He focused on taking out Saddam Hussein. Obama may have, because Obama was notoriously weak. But the fact of the matter is, if the terrorist movement has now switched into being fronted by Iran, then we take them out if they're designated terrorists. Now, the answer to Khamenei, and whether you take him out, if he's designated a terrorist, fine, take him out. If he's not a terrorist, don't take him out. But this guy was clearly designated a terrorist. The fact that he put a uniform on doesn't make him any different from Osama bin Laden or Baghdadi. He's a terrorist, and he kills Americans, and he kills a lot of other people, and he ought to be taken out, period.
This would be akin to Iran attacking and killing the head of our Joint Chiefs of Staff, or one of the highest-ranking military members in our U.S. Army or armed forces of any kind. This is akin to that, and that raises some troubling issues in international law and the norms of how we operate as a country in international law. And many of our allies have been rightly concerned about what this kind of an escalation might mean for the future.
Well, number one, it hasn't
there are international norms that we have to follow, and this president is basically thumbing his nose at our allies in this world whom we need in order to, number one,
there's no
protect
rule
America in the world.
There's
today.
No rule, Jeff, that we have to follow international norms of people like Germany and Italy and France and England. We don't have to follow those rules. If the guy's a terrorist and he was designated a terrorist by the U.S., he was also sanctioned by the United Nations and effectively called a terrorist by them, though not formally, he needs to be taken out. Now, that's what happens when you put on a uniform and you go out and kill people. You get taken out.
Well, and the other problem is
this concept
is that
we have to follow everybody else's rules.
Of Congress. whatsoever before he did this. And that's never happened before with either Bush or with Obama or any other president to engage in this kind of activity without consulting at least the heads of the intelligence committees and perhaps the armed services committees.
Obama took out cruise missiles at hundreds of people without congressional approval.
Obama,
he did not consult with Congress before he took out an American citizen down in Yemen. He tossed a cruise missile at that gentleman from from California, killed an American citizen. He did it on his own. The rule is that you don't consult Congress until after the fact in this type of situation. The president is the commander in chief. We don't have 535 commanders in chief in Congress.
Okay, that's John Munger, Jeff Rogers. Jeff, thank you very much for coming
in. You're quite welcome.
John, thank you.
Thank you.
The Monday Political Face-Off presented by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing. They're located at Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing at Fort Lowell and Dodge. And at moesgallery.com, all of your framing needs will be, believe me, they'll be taken care of, and the product will come back just the way you would have hoped it would. And it will be there for you. All right, we're going to take our break here. It's the mid-show point. Buckmaster in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio, our Better Business Bureau monthly scam of the month is coming up right after this.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Biosphere 2's new ocean tour takes you behind the scenes of the largest experimental ocean in the world, researching solutions for the global coral reef crisis. Other exciting tours include the amazing 30-year history, a family tour for families with kids 10 and under, and the inspiring Under the Glass tour, one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. Visit UA Biosphere 2 today. Explore the future. Online giving for coral reef research and information about tours and more at biosphere2.org.
Vets working hard to save wildlife covered in cactus spines. A skunk left for dead, miraculously saved by a caring citizen. Those are just a couple of the headlines from the nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Center, where thousands of animals are cared for each year at its state-of-the-art Far East Side Tucson facility. Rescue, rehab, and release. The Tucson Wildlife Center, saving wildlife for more than two decades. Donate online at TucsonWildlife.com or call 290-WILD.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster, and you know how I love to travel. I've always searched for that new destination or travel experience that makes life so special. And I looked to Ryan Hansen of Bon Voyage Travel for insight on current travel trends.
This is Ryan Hansen, and I'd like to personally invite your listeners to the Bon Voyage Travel Showcase. Over 40 travel partners will be on hand to answer all the individual travel questions that you have. Bill, you and I are going to team up for a joint presentation to help your listeners discover all the world has to offer.
I'm looking forward to it, Ryan. And talking about the inspiration behind my lifetime of travel to more than 100 countries.
Join us on February 16th from 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. at the Hilton El Conquistador for Bon Voyage's free travel showcase.
And look no further, the folks at Bon Voyage will help you plan that perfect journey.
Be sure to visit bvtravel.com to RSVP.
Green Things is a family-owned and operated plant nursery serving Tucson since 1970. Open daily at 3384 East River Road, Green Things is chock full of plants and pottery from around the world. Green Things is also now home to Zocalo, featuring fine Mexican and South American imports spread over five buildings on the 13-acre Green Things property. For more, visit greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Time for our monthly scam alert presented by the Better Business Bureau. With me in studio in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio, Pam Krim is here, CEO and president of the BBB. Pam, how are you?
Great. Thank you so much. Off to a strong start for the year.
Yes, it's not too late to wish you a happy new year.
Well, thank you, and happy new year to you and all your listeners.
Thank you very much. And we've brought Sean Herdrick is with us. Sean is a new hire for the BBB, Pam.
Yes, we're very excited to have him as our new director of marketing, just starting a week and a half ago.
Sean, why'd you want to be involved with BBB in Tucson?
I think it's just a really great organization to help out the businesses in town locally and also help out the consumer.
And you've been in town a while?
I have. I've been around Tucson for about 10 years now.
Doing marketing?
Yep.
Okay. Pam, the big news, of course, we've had the situation going on with Australia. So many people want to reach out to help help the folks down there. Then we've got what's going on with Puerto Rico. Whenever we have these kinds of events where people want to help, unfortunately, the scammers know that there's going to be a lot of interest, and they want a piece of the action.
Yes. If there's one thing that I'd really ask your listeners to have as a takeaway today, we have lots of things to discuss.
We do.
But give.org, please visit it whenever you have a question about any nonprofit or want to. But there's two very good, substantial articles about giving to Puerto Rico as well as giving to Australia. And it lists not only those that are accredited, but also some like the Red Cross address in Australia and et cetera, that will be really helpful for us to all help those people and animals that are in need, as well as Puerto Rico. So it gives you some real exact information, and you don't widen your opportunity to be a victim of a scammer.
And again, if you would, Pam, the address, that web address?
Is give.org.
Okay, that's very easy to remember. give.org. Pam, the holidays are over. Of course, the scammers were having a field day over the holidays. They know a lot of money's floating around. But hey, after the holidays, these people are not going away.
Well, I know. And it's
unfortunately.
Yeah. It is. It's exhausting. It's really exhausting. And as you know, we had one of the largest years for online purchasing. So we had all of the delivery scams and et cetera. So now what we have is we have scammers approaching via email and texts asking you to click on the link so you can collect your rewards because you have so many rewards.
What?
Because you purchase so much. And they mimic the websites and the email addresses so it looks like Costco or Core or
like
Kohl's.
Thanking you for the business and spending so much money. Now would you
please click on this link so you can get additional bonus rewards. And the problem with that is once you hit that link, then they have access, possibly through malware, to get onto your computer and access any of your private personal banking information or whatever you do on that particular instrument or laptop.
So the subject line might read like, you've won or you have a new reward to claim, something like that,
yes.
Right?
Yes,
and
it
will be an unsolicited email or text message that appears to be coming from a major retailer.
Right, right. It's very similar to what people will do to mimic banks to say you need to go in to your bank account and make this particular information input. They disguise it really well. They disguise the logo. They disguise the whole feel of the communication to you.
What happens, Pam, when you open the message?
Well, when you open it, then that they have malware that's attached to that.
Oh, boy.
So it lets the bugs in, right? And then it allows them to claim and get more information on you that you don't want to share with someone that you don't know.
Do they have the company logo and all that stuff?
So they do. They have the logo, and they even mock the email address. So one of the most important things, so I know you're going to ask me, so what do we do next,
You know that's coming next. You know.
So one of the things that you always need to do is take your cursor and hover over the email address, because the one that's on the outside label that we all see, that's the spoofed one, right?
Really?
But when you hover over it, you can see the real address, and many times it would take the word like Kohl's and maybe put two S's at the end of it, and that would make it a different email address that's not legitimate for Kohl's or Costco. So there'll be a slight misspelling. Also, there'll be a real sense of urgency. Do this now. Hit this link now. You know, your rewards will expire. All those types of things that we know cause people to make bad decisions.
So I think this is important, that not just for this scam that's going on, but don't take unsolicited emails at face value. That's kind of the message here.
It is. And not only on email, but be careful on Facebook and any other social media sites that push through advertising. The best thing to do is to close out of it.
Uh-huh.
Do a Google search on that particular company and then go to their email address directly to that. Also, when you do a search on Google or Better Business Bureau, you can collect even additional information about that company.
So the BBB has information at BBB.org about all of this.
We do.
And these fish, so-called phishing scams.
We do. Yeah. On BBB.org, you can do a search and come up with all of the information we have about scams. You also can find out about legitimate businesses, and you can read reviews as well. So there's a plethora of information, and our website traffic is way up, and we're very grateful for that, because that means we're accomplishing our mission.
Sure. Pam, let's mention the Mixer program that BBB has in place. This is one of the very strong BBB chapters in the United States, and part of the reason is you guys do a lot of outreach.
We have. You know, over the last 4.5 years, we've been having a Mixer almost every month, unless there's another big event like Torch Awards or something. So actually, Sean has taken the reins on this, and our first BBB Mixer for the year is on February 27th at one of my favorite places, Brother John's, who's also an accredited restaurant. And it'll start at 5 o'clock and run to about 7, 7:30. Sometimes people like to stay. And if it's open to all businesses and all people. Obviously, it's free. You just buy any beverage that you'd like, but we always have wonderful appetizers. And there's also an opportunity to talk to BBB people. And if you want to update your profile that's on our website, you have the opportunity to make those contacts as well.
Sean, jump back in here. Sean Herdrick is the new BBB Director of Marketing. How important is the mixing program for your whole portfolio?
I think it's very important. I think it gives people who are considering the BBB and to be an accredited business a chance to talk to us directly, and it also gives our existing ABs a chance to come in and talk with us and reacquaint themselves with us.
I'm sure when you were doing your research on the BBB, you also realized, hey, this is an organization that people really trust here, not only nationally, but here in Tucson.
Absolutely. And that's exactly what we strive for. Trust is what we are about. And that's exactly what we want to portray. And we want to let our businesses in on that as well.
Pam, anything you want to say about the upcoming Torch Awards?
Well, we had a record-breaking number of folks that were nominated. So now we're in the process of contacting all those that are nominated to give them the expertise and the process to complete their application. And the Torch Awards is going to be May 1st, which will be fun. It's a Friday night out.
What's
at
your venue?
At the Casino del Sol, which is always really fun. And it starts approximately 5 or 5:30 with cocktails, and then we get right into the event. And it promises to be a great evening. Dr. Paul Melendez from the Eller Management Organization will be speaking as our keynote, Ethics in Business. And he always finds a great way to grab people's attention and present a topic such as ethics.
All right. Pam Krim, CEO and President, Better Business Bureau, serving Southern Arizona. And congratulations, Pam, to everything going on over with the BBB, BBB.org. Also, Sean Herdrick. Sean, congratulations on your new post associated with the BBB as the Director of Marketing. Good luck to you, Sean.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Bill.
Thank you, Pam. All right, that's going to do it. We'll move on now, take a break right here on the Buckmaster Show in the Green Thing Zocalo Village Studio. Pima County Justice of the Peace Ray Carroll waiting in the wings. Ray's next.
As a small business owner, I appreciate the services of a top-notch certified public accountant. That's why Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates is the CPA firm of the Buckmaster Show. Michael's a former Small Business Leader of the Year in Tucson. He'll professionally handle all of your accounting needs and tax preparation services. Flowers, Rieger & Associates, 6125 East Grant Road, and on the web, flowersrieger.com.
Let's say you need an honest roofer. Where do you start? Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona has more than 3,200 accredited businesses ready to help and committed to doing things right. Next time you need a trusted mechanic, plumber, AC company, or florist, go to our website, bbb.org, or call us at 520-888-6161. Better Business Bureau of Southern Arizona. We are here to help you find local companies you can trust.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know about my love of travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. I know you value your time and money, so it makes sense to fly Tucson with nearly 60 daily nonstop flights to major hub airports. If you're flying to another airport to take a nonstop flight, you're still making a connection and spending 4 hours on the road traveling to that other airport. That's why I fly Tucson and encourage you to do the same.
The current Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a half-cent sales tax, which expires in June 2026. In preparation for developing a new 20-year plan, the RTA Board established a Citizens Advisory Committee to identify priority projects based on public input. RTA member jurisdictions will submit their respective project lists by June 2020 for the CAC to consider for a future plan. To learn more, visit www.rtanext.com.
This is Moa Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing.
And this is Bill Buckmaster. For several decades now, Moe has been my go-to expert for all my framing needs and bathroom mirrors. I trust Moe for service, professionalism, and top-of-the-line quality.
Thanks, Bill. Give us a call at 795-8226 and stop by Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing on the southwest corner of Fort Lowell and Dodge, right next to Copenhagen, and on the web at moesgallery.com.
Cushman & Wakefield Picor is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield Picor offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at picor.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's picor.com. Call us at 748-7100.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, Monday edition. February the 8th is the Chocolate Festival coming up in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, which is just a, well, 3-hour drive from Tucson. It's not bad at all, and they've got that Chocolate Festival, but they have so many opportunities for things to do in that area. The complete listing of the many great opportunities to recreate and places to stay in Silver City and Grant County, New Mexico on their fine website. Visit southwestnewmexico.org. It's a new year with new laws that you need to be aware of. With me in studio is Precinct 7 Pima County Justice of the Peace, Ray Carroll. Mr. Carroll, former Pima County Supervisor, who has been the Green Valley JP since October 27, 2017. Hey, Ray, hope the new year's off to a great start for you. Good to see you. Thanks, Bill. Thank you for having me.
Before we talk about the new laws, I want to mention you have one of the essays in a terrific book. And in fact, the book is so good that it is the 2019 Southwest Books of the Year pick, top pick, about our mutual friend, the late, great Charles Bowden. The book is titled America's Most Alarming Writer, Essays on the Life and Work of Charles Bowden. It's edited by Bill Broyles and Bruce Dingus, published by the University of Texas Press.
We
miss Chuck.
Of course we do. And I was so honored that both the editors, Bill and Bruce, had asked me to provide just a short essay, really talking about Chuck as a friend. How Friends Remember Chuck was the name of the book, of America's Most Alarming Writer. But our Pima County Parks tribute, the jewel and the crown of the Santa Catalina Mountains being the Chuck Bowden Mount Lemmon Community Center, is really what I wanted to share with people, that it's out there. And it was really named after Chuck by the entire board unanimously to celebrate Chuck's life as a desert ecologist and activist more than anything else. But he was a terrific writer, well known across not just the Southwest, but internationally. And as far as my contribution, I'm greatly humbled by their effort to include me. I'm sure they had to convince others. I'm not a writer by trade, and I think it showed in my essay, Bill. I give myself about a C-plus on the effort.
One thing that popped out reading some of those essays, I did not realize this about Chuck. I knew he had been nominated for a Pulitzer Prize, but he actually was issued the letter saying, "You are the winner of the Pulitzer Prize." Yes, this actually happened, and it was rescinded. Why?
Well, the editor, and I mean, one of the main decision makers, I guess, was, like it's in the title of his book, it was an alarming piece that Chuck was nominated regarding child abuse, sexual assault. And I think that those types, Chuck was so far ahead of his time that, of course, it was well-written, well-researched, and really a gripping, mind-altering type of a piece if you read it. So Chuck is slighted, I think, in many ways, but I don't think slighted by this effort by Bruce and Bill and all of his friends who contributed to the book. It's called Friends Remember America's Most Alarming Writer, The Life of Chuck Bowden.
Yeah, it's a really terrific read. All right, let's talk about some of the new laws, and these are things that if you break some of these new laws, you could wind up in front of Judge Ray Carroll. And
well, that's true.
I guess one of them is this texting while driving. So if you were to be cited for this, is this a misdemeanor? What is the deal?
Yes, it would be. But let me start out by saying it's a state law, Bill, and it was signed by the governor in April of last year.
Okay.
On the heels of a tragic loss where a trooper was hit by a texter and driver in Phoenix. So it really got a kind of a Kate Brophy, got the kind of wind behind her back at that effort, because it failed many times to get a texting and driving. But I will say that texting and driving, the most important thing we should remember, a single cell phone distraction, such as making a phone call or responding to a text message, may not seem like a big deal. But these distractions, I'm going to tell you, I've seen many accidents just like the loss of the trooper right in my precinct. And that's why I'm here to tell people, start now. It's a state law. The fines begin next year, but there's already fines in Pima County, Oro Valley, Tucson. Pima County, the fine is $220. I've seen many people on the charge already. And then you've got, of course, Tucson, Oro Valley, and other areas that are going to be in across the state that are going to have fines in place already. So, yes, of course, if you get a ticket, you know, you're free to do wrong, but you're not free to choose the penalty. It's a
right.
big fine,
right.
plus an 1850 surcharge because it's a transportation-related statute. And you've got to break the habit now, Bill. It's like kicking the cigarette habit back 20 years ago. A lot of people realize that we repeat curable customs and habits, and they endanger the lives of others, like secondhand cigarette or smoking, to your family or yourself. Now, it's rules of the road. So remember, the roads of Pima County, because of ARS 28914, will become safer as a result of this law. But they're already on the books in Pima County.
$220 straight fine there. Someday across the state, it'll be about an equal fine in any place that you go. So
if you're cited, Ray Carroll, you go to a justice of the peace. Is that the deal?
Or a magistrate court.
If you don't want to say you're guilty and pay right up front, you can fight it or whatever. But
yes, there's always.
You can always do that.
Let me explain the three choices. Any defendant has three choices when they're cited.
What are they?
First, the ticket sent in, and we get it. And they can either at the side of the road, the deputy will tell him, or trooper, whomever, you can get the officer in to fight the ticket. You just give a word to the county court or wherever. The second thing is, if you take the chance to fight the ticket, you give up your chance to go to school. So if you hadn't been to school for that year and you were trying to avoid points, you could go to school and pay about a couple hundred dollars, usually about the equal amount of a ticket, and get away from the points for a 4-hour on the computer class. And then the last thing is, just like you said, go ahead and say, yes, I was caught red-handed. I take full responsibility. It's a civil traffic violation. And that's what these are, Bill. They're not going to be misdemeanors. In my understanding, it's going to be less than that, but it's a civil traffic citation to begin with, is what I've been told. And lastly, at that point, they can do community service if they're under some type of a hardship to pay their fines or if found guilty in a hearing. And lastly, they could do term. So every court, according to the Fair and Equal Justice Initiative, can take a terms amount. So for a $20 setup fee, anybody can pay as little as $50 a month on any size traffic ticket that they get and keep their license from being suspended and keep themselves on a payment plan and on the right side of any court business.
Is there any other new law you want to mention real quickly?
Well, not any one that's as important as this one. To give you a good heads up, I just wanted to make sure there is some important message in distracted driving. It costs life and limb and property, and I just want all the people to know, even though the law is not full effect in Arizona until next year, the 2021, now is the time to start breaking the habit and avoiding local fines as well as reasonable suspicion to be pulled over by a state trooper because he sees you on your phone.
How do you like the new job?
Bill, it's a great job.
I guess
job.
It's not such a new job anymore if you've been on it since October of 2017, but I understand you really like what you're doing.
Right, since 2017 now, and I've really enjoyed learning, really trying to get myself out into the community and try to restore really the confidence and really the local kind of judge that every community should have. Justices of the peace in unincorporated areas should be public officials and should be out there, and I work by seeing the groups, telling the story of the court, but equally making sure that people know that the court is not some place that isn't fair, it's not some place that doesn't treat people equally. And we just like to make sure that the people know and have the respect and the understanding that the court is there to answer questions and help. So if you have a friend who has a warrant outstanding, send them into their respective court, go to MVD, find out who's holding up their license, and they, too, can take advantage of free and equal justice initiatives, get their license out of suspension, and work towards being healthy and safe on the road instead of in the shadows.
Okay, Ray Carroll, always a pleasure. Thank you very much, Ray.
Mine, Bill. Thank you. I enjoyed the show today.
Thank you very much. Judge Ray Carroll with us, representing Precinct Number 7, Pima County Justice of the Peace in Green Valley, with us on the Buckmaster Show. And that will wrap it up for the Buckmaster Show. The hour goes very quickly here on Buckmaster. Try to put in a lot of content in 60 minutes. On behalf of my engineer producer, John Couch, and Ray Carroll, on behalf of all of us, hope you have a great afternoon and evening.